Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Let me try that again. Good morning.
Morning.
It's a beautiful day to be gathered together in the house of the Lord to worship together. Because it is a very special day today with our remembrance service at the beginning of our time together. But I want to go through some of the announcements just to bring them to mind for you. We do have pancake breakfast coming up on November the 19th. That is one of our biggest and major annual outreaches to the community. We run the pancake breakfast at the same time as the Santa Claus Parade, and Santa Claus Parade goes right past the front doors of this church. And we get 130 or more people from the community coming into our community, and we serve them and we bless them with the pancake breakfast as they're waiting for the Santa Claus Parade. Now this is a lot of work. I know it's a horrible word, work. It takes a lot of people. It takes a lot of people to actually put it all together, prepare it, set it up, serve it, and then clean up and take it all down at the end. So we do need your help. We do need your help. And there's a sign-up sheet downstairs on one of the posts. One of the posts downstairs. So please, if you're going to be around on the 19th and you want to lend a hand, please let us know that you're available to do one of the tasks that's there in the book. The Joy Group, Just Over the Youth Group, will be having their catered lunch on the 17th. And again, it's a special event in November where we pack the shoe boxes that go out with the Samaritan's Purse. And we are to bring all of the things that we are putting in, and there is a list downstairs of things that we should and should not be putting in the shoeboxes, so do pick that up. And we'll be meeting at 12 noon on the 17th to do that. And the boxes have to be back. If you are doing a box outside of the Joy Group at home with your family and you want it delivered via the church, then please have that box back here by November the 30th. Next Sunday, thank you. Yeah. There's a fall concert for the Keynote Seniors Choir. That's on November the 20th at 3 p.m. And there's a new website for the food bank. The local food pantry has changed its location and they've updated their website. So take a look at that and see what's needed at the food pantry. Our board needs another trustee. We need to have three trustees. And we're looking for someone to join George and Bill as soon as possible to be the trustees of our property. I'm going to ask George to come forward and lead us through our time of remembrance.
Before I read the poem, I'd just like to share a personal note. There are two men who remain in my memory, having been involved in two world wars. One of them was my father, who served in the RCAF and Canadian Air Force for 6 years in northern Quebec, where he met my mother. And I remember him telling us stories at the dinner table. Although he didn't go overseas because of his eyesight, he did tell us, and this remains in my memory, that of the 54 men in his squadron, of those who went over, only 4 returned. That was pretty sobering for me growing up. The other person I remember was a gentleman who attended this church, and some of you will remember him. His name was Dr. Hoskins, Douglas Hoskins, who was a chiropractor, naturopath, and a very involved and enthusiastic Christian. When I was teaching school here in Connecticut back in the 70s, I invited him to my grade 4 classroom. And it was at this time of year, November, so this would be close to 40 years ago, a long time ago. And I remember how he stood in front of the classroom with his poppy on, very proud, a gentleman in his 80s, and with tears in his eyes, he would tell the class of some of the remembrances he had going back over 60 years. And it was quite a moving experience. In Flanders Fields. In Flanders Fields, the poppies blow between the crosses, row and row, that mark our place. And in the sky, the larks, still bravely singing, fly, scarce heard amid the guns below. We are the dead. Short days ago, we lived, felt dawn, saw sunset glow, loved and were loved, and now we lie in Flanders Fields. Take up our quarrel with the foe, to you from failing hands we throw the torch, be yours to hold it high. If ye break faith with us who die, we shall not sleep, though poppies grow in Flanders Fields. Would you stand with me to sing our country's national anthem, O Canada? You might want to turn to 806 because the second verse is probably not too familiar. We'll forgive you if you hold the hymnal here while you're singing.
Thank you.
be seated. I'm going to call the praise team forward now.
Good morning. Welcome to the house of the Lord. In this morning's call to worship, as well as we've just reflected on those who gave their lives freely so that we may have the freedoms that we enjoy, and all of our families, or most of them, have one relative or cousin who has served. And you know, in this world today, war never stops, because as long as there is evil, there will be war. When Jesus Christ comes and brings his kingdom, then there will be everlasting peace. Everlasting peace. Something to think about. That is why we preach the gospel vibrantly, because we want people to know the salvation that only comes in the name of Jesus Christ. There's no other way to be saved. He is the only one who still lives and sits at the right hand of God, says the Word of God. And the Word of God is proved and tried, and it is provable. And those who come to faith and believe, the Spirit of the living God comes upon their lives, and they know that they know inside that God is alive, though hidden, though mysterious, but he works for those who love him, for those who seek him, and for those who wish to be obedient to his requirements. And his requirements are not burdensome, because Jesus already paid the price for our sins, and he promised that gift that came when he ascended to glory, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the one who guides us. God knows we're not perfect, but in Christ we are. And the only way to approach God is through that blood-stained bridge that Jesus paid his life for. So, where does evil come from? Well, we've been, in the last few weeks, learning about spiritual warfare. And we know there is a devil. And we know that he opposes God. And a third of the angels that followed him fell, and we refer to them as demons. Now, here's a take on spiritual warfare that's a little different. God is a mighty and strong conqueror. So most of us hope for good government. We vote, we serve, we speak out for the causes we believe that are fair and just. But political solutions remain powerless to change the condition of our hearts. So many of Jesus' followers anticipated a Messiah who would put an end to Rome's heavy-handed oppression. And Peter was no exception. So when the Roman soldiers came to arrest Christ, Peter drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. So Jesus halted Peter's one-man war, saying, "Put your sword away. Shall I not drink the cup that the Father has given to me?" And hours later, Jesus would tell Pilate that his kingdom is not of this world. And if it were, his servants would fight to preserve it and also prevent him from arrest from the Jewish leaders. So the Lord's restraint in that moment, as his life hung in balance, astonishes us when we ponder the scope of his mission. On a future day, he will lead armies of heaven into battle. John wrote, "With justice he judges and wages war," Revelation 19:11. But he has endured the ordeal of his arrest, trial, and crucifixion. Jesus kept his Father's will in view by embracing death on the cross. He set in motion a chain of events that truly would transform hearts. And in the process, our strong conqueror defeated death itself. Remember that real restraint is not weakness, for it arises out of genuine strength. So Lord, we just ask you, Father, that you help us not to react quickly, not to be prone to anger, but to show us your will for our life, so we will purposely choose the path that you have for us. Amen. And so now, as we sing Protector of My Soul, we sing it mindful that as we follow Jesus Christ and have given his life to him, today is Communion Sunday and we celebrate the Lord's Supper, that God is the protector of our soul. We're born and we die. Nothing changes that. We will all go somewhere on that day. My prayer is that we will all go to glory together and take many millions with us. God is the protector of our soul.
Let's stand to sing. In our minds as we worship you in this time that's set apart for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We continue in our mode of worship as we take up our tithes and offerings and ask the ushers to come forward and take up our tithes and offerings. Heavenly Father, gracious and loving God, we have all days, this day we give you thanks for the blessing of freedom that we have that was fought for and won with the blood of many, many people. Lord, we pray that we will honor that sacrifice and honor that freedom by standing up for what is right. Lord, thank you for the other blessings, material blessings you have showered upon us. Receive from us now, we pray, these, our tithes and our offerings. Lord, multiply them in our hands, that we may use them prudently, diligently, and rightfully for your kingdom work here in Newmarket and beyond. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Do we have any children? We have one. Two. Send them there. Did you dress up and go out?
No.
What did you dress up as?
Leonardo.
Leonardo.
The Ninja Turtle.
Sorry, I was sticking to Paw Patrol. So, did other people dress up as other things? Scary tree. And were you scared? Were you frightened? You weren't frightened by it because you knew it was someone dressed up, right? Days of the year we tell our children, don't go to a stranger's house, don't take candy from a stranger, and then that one night of the year we say, come on out, go take candy from strangers. Well, I was going to say that sometimes, and Andrew's probably a little young, but sometimes we get scared and we're fearful. And there are safe places to go, but when we're alone and we've got some scary stuff going on in our hearts, or in our lives, or in our homes, our safe place is Jesus. Our safe place is Jesus. And that's the same for you, Andrew. Whenever you get scared or frightened of something, you can pray to Jesus, okay, to keep you safe. Are you going to go downstairs now for Sunday school? Are you going to behave downstairs? You know, for a change?
Yeah.
Okay, let's pray. Let me pray for you. Father, give me thanks for these two wonderful children and all the children we have in our homes and our families and our community. Lord, bless them. Guide them and protect them, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Wonderful Psalms, we have Psalm 46:10, one of my favorites. It says, be still, and know that I am God. And so let us be still. Let's close our eyes and be fully attentive now to the presence of God by His Spirit in our midst. For He is here. We have invited Him here to be with us. So Heavenly Father, I lift up to You all the children, grandchildren of our homes and our families, of our church community. Lord, I pray You wrap Your arms of protection around them. That You'll guide and protect every parent here and give them wisdom as they raise their children. Lord, we pray that our children and grandchildren will be raised in godly homes, will be introduced to the Lord early in life and will follow him all the days of their lives. Lord, we pray for those families in our communities and our streets who have not yet met the Lord. Their parents are wandering aimlessly in their lives, not knowing what is right and what is wrong, and their children are following. Lord, we pray that you would have the courage to meet with them, to speak with them, and draw them into the circle of your family, and lead them to adoption into the kingdom of heaven. Lord, again, we give you thanks today for the freedom we have to do that, the freedom we have to be here today. No one blocking our way. No one threatening us. Lord, we pray that we will use that freedom for your kingdom work. We'll take advantage of the fact that we have freedom in this country to speak about our faith. We pray, Lord, that we'll do it with gentleness and love and respect. Lord, again, we lift up to you our brothers and sisters and our cousins to the south as they make a very important decision this coming week. Lord, may your hand and your spirit be on that country. Lord, may you guide them in the decision they make this week. And I pray, Lord, that the congressmen, the senators, and all the leaders, Lord, will look towards you to pass the right laws, to govern in a godly way. Lord, we pray that for our own country, Lord, for our Prime Minister, our Premier, our Town Council and our Mayor, Lord, we pray that they will turn their eyes towards you and lead and govern in a godly way. And now each one of us here has come from a week of busyness. There's been some pluses and some minuses throughout the week, and we've got a week ahead. But in this moment, Lord, let us meet with you one-on-one. Let us give thanks to you for the things that we have to give thanks for. And Lord, hear our prayers for the things that we need. Father, we know of your presence here among us this morning. We feel your spirit move in us and through us and among us. Lord, may we never forget that you are available to us 24 hours a day. There is no time when we are not close to you. Lord, bring that to memory throughout this coming week, I pray, for all of us. In Jesus' name. Amen. We're in this sermon series on The Truth Will Set You Free. And next week I've already planned to do a message on the Sabbath. And I was aware of a pastor's retreat this weekend and they had a whole session on the Sabbath. So it was very timely that I was actually exposed to that teaching, if you like, and I hope to be able to bring some of that to you next week. But the idea of the Sabbath is just what we did there for like 2 or 3 minutes, is pausing in the busyness of the day and taking a mini Sabbath. Very, very busy. The people are very busy. Up early in the morning, heading out to work, busy, 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 getting on the train, coming home at night, busy, 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 falling into bed, exhausted. And many days, God doesn't get a look in. And we need to build that cycle of Sabbaths into our daily lives. And we'll get into more of that next Sunday. The truth will set you free. We're in this middle of this series now. And today is on fear not, being fearless in our approach to our Christian walk. In 2011, there was a movie came out called We Bought a Zoo. Did anybody see that movie? Did you see that movie? Sometimes when I go to a movie and I see a trailer for another movie, the trailer says, okay, I've seen the movie. There's enough in the trailer to say, yeah, okay, I get it. I've seen that one in a three-minute trailer. And I think this was one of those for me. And this is a story of a British man. It's been a good movie. His name is Benjamin Mee. And in 2006, this man, Mee, and his family, they purchased and moved into a 30-acre zoo. And in the book of the same title, that Mee, he says that his new neighbors included 5 Siberian tigers, 3 African lions, 9 wolves, 3 big brown European bears, 4 Asian short-clawed otters, 2 flamingos, a Brazilian tapir named Ronnie, and some large boa constrictors and a tarantula. Those were his new neighbors. When he moved into the zoo, it was seriously and dangerously run down, and he faced a series of challenges, including dealing with rat infestation, finding enough money to feed the animals, and on the fourth day of their new venture, the jaguar escaped, endangering the neighborhood. Despite the difficulties, Mee and his family restored the zoo to a place of beauty and safety that provided healing for themselves and for their surrounding community. Mee admitted that it wasn't an easy thing to do. He said, there are lots of times when I thought, what have I done? Some of us do go on adventures like that and think, oh, what have I done? So why did he buy and remodel the zoo? In the film version, Mee, played by Matt Damon, he says, sometimes all you need is 20 seconds of insane courage. Just literally 20 seconds of embarrassing bravery. And I promise you, something great will come out of it. And sometimes we too, in our Christian walk, we need like 20 seconds of that insane courage, that fearlessness, that boldness to speak up and to speak out God's truth into a conversation or into a situation. We just need to grab the moment, get the courage, and speak fearlessly and boldly. As we've been going through this series, we've encountered some truths that Satan is real, and he's intentional. He wants to undermine you and your faith and your walk with God. We discovered the truth that you and I, we are children of God as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are members of this royal family. We have a deposit of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, and so we know the truth, and that's the truth that sets us free. Last week, we looked at the armor of God. We've been given the whole armor of God to protect us in this daily walk. Belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness. We have those things. We are protected. And so we can take up our stand. We can take up our walk with uncompromising boldness as children of God and bring this message of God's love and God's reconciliation through Jesus Christ. Take it to this sorry and hurting world. But there's another truth we need to address, and that other truth is our fear. Our fear. We're fearful of speaking out. Even those moments when we know, this was a moment. Getting a few smiles and a few nods. Oh, that was a moment. I missed it. I could have said something. I should have said something. But I didn't. So our text, our title for today is Fear Not. I've asked Laura if she'd come and read from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 to 10.
Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, who I serve as my forefathers did with a clear conscience, as day and night I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner. But join with me in suffering for the gospel, by the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we've done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel.
Thank you, Laura. Key verse there is, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. Being timid in our walk of faith is no use to us. It's no use. Paul tells Timothy that he too has been given a spirit of power, not timidity. Now this word, timidity, that's a gentle translation of the Greek word. The stronger meaning is cowardice. You know, perhaps Timothy was a quiet man, not given to bold speech, certainly not as bold and as outspoken as Paul would be. So Paul says to him, and he says to us, that the spirit we have been given is a spirit of power. We have a spirit of power, we have a spirit of authority. We can speak boldly. We do not need to be quiet. We do not need to be timid. And we certainly don't need to be cowardly in the walk and talk of our faith. We have God's eternal truth in our hearts. We've talked about that in the last few weeks. We have that deposit of the Holy Spirit. We know the truth. We know it in our hearts. We are the ones who've been asked, appointed, and anointed to bring the message of God's truths, God's reconciliation, into this mess and the chaos that's in this world today. We've been given the authority and the power to speak into any situation God's truth. We're part of a conversation where it's in error. We have the authority to say, well, you know, I have a different perspective on that. Would you mind if I gave you a different perspective? How I see this situation and where I'm coming from in this matter. We have the power and the authority to do that. Timidity, cowardice, just doesn't cut it. Let me paint a scenario for you. Imagine, if you will, a young, inexperienced police officer is dispatched to direct traffic at a busy intersection where the lights have malfunctioned and the traffic is a mess. Completeness. We've all been at those intersections at some point in their lives. This young officer is afraid. This is a serious challenge he's been given. He's afraid. He's timid. So he goes to the side, he stands at the curb, he blows his whistle weakly, and nothing happens. Nobody takes any notice. They don't even see him. He's not heard. His fear, his timidity has overcome his authority. Now imagine the same scenario where an older, more experienced, bolder police officer walks into the fray. He blows his whistle loudly and as often and as long as it takes. His hands are thrust out like this. We've all been there. He halts the traffic in all four directions. And when they're stopped, he blows his whistle again and he says, you come this way, you go that way. And he directs and he takes over. And he makes all the others wait their turn. He has the power and the authority to stop traffic. He's not timid about it. He has the knowledge, he has the right and the authority to direct the traffic as he determines. One is a timid officer, one has taken his authority and his boldness, and he's using it. In those kinds of situations, timidity is of no use to anyone. We have the power and the authority to overcome that fear of speaking up, of that timidness that we have about our faith. We have the indwelling Holy Spirit to walk the walk and talk the talk. Paul says, instead of timidity, instead of cowardice, we have the spirit of power, the spirit of love, and the spirit of self-discipline. The power comes, as we say, from the Holy Spirit, who indwelt us at the moment of our salvation, where we were no longer governed by the weaknesses of the flesh, or enslaved by them. We have the spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline within us, and we need to exercise that. We don't need to fear what people may think, or how they will respond to our declarations of faith, or the truths that we put into a situation or a conversation. We don't need to be afraid of our faith in Jesus, because we have all of our hope and our trust in Him. So when we're guided, and we've all had that nudge, right? We've all had that little nudge in a conversation where we knew, oh, I gotta say something here, but I don't. We can do it without fear. We can do it with power and authority, because we have the command to be bearers of the truth, bearers of the good news into this sorry, broken, and chaotic world. But we do it with gentleness and we do it with love, because we're children of God. We're members of that royal family. We have a gentleness about us. There's no need for argument or heated debate. You can't argue someone into the kingdom of heaven. You can't imagine a conversation in heaven, in eternity, where we speak to someone and say, how did you get saved? Well, I had this flaming argument with a woman at work, and she argued back and forth with me, and she raised her voice, and she was quite abrasive about it, and I got saved. That's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. It's our gentleness and our love as we reflect the love of God into our situations, into those conversations, that people respond. Let the Spirit lead. Let Him tell you when to speak and what to speak. So when you're in those situations, listen to Him first. You're part of a conversation, you're part of a group, social group. And many of you, our social groups, are not part of the family of God. And that's great, because you can shine your light into their situation. So with love and care and caution and gentleness, you listen to the Holy Spirit saying, speak, don't speak. And when you speak, say this. Just this one word, this one phrase. And allow the conversation to move. Don't dominate. Gentleness and love. But we need to practice getting into these conversations and bringing the truth of God's word into other people's lives. Our challenge, of course, will become when we meet with the negative response, when we're confronted with harsh or rude or degrading, belittling responses. In Isaiah 51, it says, "Hear me, you who know what is right," that's us, "you people who have my law, my truth, in your hearts. Do not fear the reproach of men, or be terrified by their insults." It's right there in the Old Testament. This is God, this is our God speaking into His children. Don't fear them, don't fear the reproach of men. Speak your truth with gentleness and love. That's all we're commanded to do. Take the abuse. Christ took the cross. We can take some further abuse. It doesn't hurt. And in 1 Peter 3 it says, but even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. But in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have. There's a little hint in there about how we approach this fearlessness. Just be ready to give an answer when you're asked. You can bring the conversation around. I've said it many times. Tomorrow morning, many of you are going to end up in the office somewhere, and people are going to ask you how your weekend was. Will you tell them about Sunday morning? Will you mention that I went to church on Sunday? And I'll see where the conversation leads. Oh, you go to church? What church do you go to? Oh, I went to a Baptist church in New Market. Oh, what about you? Where do you go? Well, I used to do this, used to do that. What's your relationship with God like today? You can actually feed into a conversation just by answering, how was your weekend? In a certain way that draws people into a conversation that you can begin to talk about your faith. You don't have to hit them over the head with John 3:16 or anything like that. You can just draw them into a conversation. They know you from your work situation. They know who you are. They trust you. They work alongside you. But you can draw them into a conversation. You can tell them the truth. And they need it. This world needs the truth right now. They don't need sugar-coated messages, okay, which a lot of preachers have, a lot of books have, self-help books have. They don't need that fake message that God is love and everybody's going to be fine. The world needs to be introduced to the way and the truth and the life that is Jesus Christ. And they need the truth that God has put in your hearts and in your minds. They need to share that Holy Spirit that you have. Imagine if you would, if you picked up your car from the car shop and the mechanic said, oh, your car is great, it's fine, it's wonderful, you must have a great mechanic looking after your car. And you drive off down the road and the brakes fail. And you go back to the shop and say, what are you talking about? The brakes failed. He says, well, I don't like to give people bad news. I don't want to upset people. I like my mechanic shop to be a place of calmness and niceness and where everybody feels okay. Oh, you don't want that kind of truth, do you? You want to go, oh, tell me what's wrong with my car. Don't make me feel good. Tell me the truth. It's the same when we go to our doctor, right? Doctor says, oh, you're fine. You're in great health. You're great health. Later that day, your heart gives out. You find out your arteries are clogged, and you're one jelly donut away from the Grim Reaper. That's a little close to home. That's a lot close to home for me, isn't it? Okay. So you go back to the doctor and say, why didn't you tell me? He said, well, I knew your body was in bad shape, you know, but I don't like to tell people stuff like that. I want to make them feel good. No, if you don't want to make people feel good, we need to tell people the truth. That's our job. Someone told you the truth, right? At some time in your life, someone came along and told you the truth and your need to have Jesus Christ in your life. And with that anointing, you were sent out to tell other people, to bring them in. See, God did not give us a spirit of timidity, of cowardice. Gave us a spirit of power, authority. And with the love and self-discipline and gentleness that we have in our hearts, we should not be ashamed to testify about Jesus and all he's done in our lives. And all he's doing in our lives. Like the zoo owner, Benjamin Nee, he said, 20 seconds of insane courage. And it's all it will take to begin that conversation tomorrow morning. 20 seconds. It's about how long it took for Peter to get out of the boat and walk on water. It's about how long it will have taken David to take that rock out of his bag and slay Goliath, slay the giant. It's about how long it would have taken Zacchaeus to get up the oak tree to see Jesus. It's about as long as it takes for us to get the courage to engage someone in a conversation about faith. So we can, over time, as we build trust with that individual, lead that point, that person, to a point of decision, whereby the grace of God and the move of the Holy Spirit, they too become members of the royal family, citizens of the kingdom of God. What about you? Are you timid in your faith? A little hesitant to bring it up? A little hesitant to mention your ministry here in the church, your involvement in the life of the church? Will you take 20 seconds of insane courage and see where it leads? Trust God for the outcome? Will you leave your fear behind and fearlessly and boldly have the name of Jesus on your lips in ordinary conversation? The truth is, you have nothing to fear because God is with you always. Fear not. Fear not. Let's be bold. The world needs to hear this truth. Let us pray. Let us pray. Lord, forgive us for those times when we've missed those opportunities, where a question or a conversation has come up and we could have steered it one way, where we could have opened up a dialogue, and we were fearful. Lord, bring this message to mind tomorrow morning, or sometime during the week when we're with someone, with friends. Create an opportunity that we would recognize to speak into the conversation and draw that individual or that group of individuals into a conversation on matters of faith. Lord, we don't expect that people are just going to fall on their faces and become saved instantly. But Lord, teach us how to draw them to meet you, wherever they are. Let us not be judgmental. Let us not be too oppressive or overbearing. But Lord, let us, with gentleness and love, exercise the authority and the power we have in the Holy Spirit. Guide and direct people to Jesus. Hear us, O Lord, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
In fact, the communion service can come forward. And so we come again to the Lord's table. We join in this ceremony with our brothers and sisters of all denominations around the world, in all different cultures and all different times. We gather at the Lord's table. You see the inscription on the top of the communion table there. You will find that in churches of all denominations. Do this, or this do, in memory of me. So we're part of a large fellowship of believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're part of a huge family. A huge royal family from every tribe and every nation, as Revelation says. So when we gather, we're gathering with millions of others around the world. We're their brothers and sisters in the Lord. When we gather at the table, it's a table of decision. It's where we remind ourselves, or re-remind ourselves, that once we did make a decision to be followers of Jesus Christ. And this table is reserved for those who have made a decision to take Jesus Christ in as Lord and Savior, as their personal Lord and Savior. So whatever your denominational background or your church background is, if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ today, you are welcome to share his table with us. Even if you're a visitor here today, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are welcome to partake of the elements. Let us pray. All who truly and earnestly repent of your sins, who have love and concern for your neighbours, who intend to lead a new life following the commandment of God by walking in holy ways, draw near now with reverence and faith and take the supper of the Lord to your comfort. We get the text, if you like, for the service of communion from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And Paul says there, before he gives the words of the communion service, "Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man, a person, ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink of the cup." It's not to be taken lightly. "For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. And so therefore it has been our practice to pause at this time of the service and examine our hearts and see if there's anything in our hearts this morning before we come to the table. Is there anything that needs to be confessed?" So again, we'll go one-on-one with our God in a quiet moment of personal examination, reflection, and confession before we approach the table. Let us take a few moments of self-examination. Ask Deacon George Meisner to do prayer for the elements.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you have said in the scripture that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Lord, as Joshua stood before the Jordan, fearful of you only, and took the priests across the Jordan River, we stand at the intersection of faith and life in our own lives. We stand as Peter, stepping out of the boat and into the water, and sinking only when he took his eyes off Jesus. We stand as Jesus before Pilate, who totally acknowledged Jesus' authority because he too realized that he was a man under authority. So you have defeated Satan on the cross. Your authority has triumphed. Lord, teach us to fear you only, to love you only, and to serve you only. Thank you for the bread and the wine, symbols of your body and blood shed for us. Be with us as we celebrate the Lord's Supper today. And remind us during this week as we stand at the intersection in many ways, in different situations in our lives, that you are with us and that we can speak because we do not have the spirit of fear, but of love, a strong mind, and your spirit within us. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.
Scripture tells us that on the night of Jesus' betrayal, he was having supper with his disciples. And while they were at supper at the table, Jesus took the bread and broke it in front of them and handed it to them, saying, "Take this and eat it, all of you. This is my body given for you." Scripture also tells us at the end of the supper with his disciples, Jesus took the cup. And in the Jewish Passover Seder, the third cup is the cup of redemption. And Jesus will be taking the third cup, the cup of redemption. And he says, this is the cup of the new covenant. He changes the Passover meal. He says, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood for the forgiveness of sins. Drink it, all of you.
I just want to mention something quickly. So Tanis and I are starting up the youth group again because there's a need. We see that there's a need again for the youth group. So we're hoping that this Friday, although there's no youth right here, I just noticed as I look how there's no youth today. So but this Friday, we were planning to have a quick meet and greet and to maybe go out to the dollar store or whatnot and just and get some stuff for the Christmas boxes to send out. It's pretty casual, but if you have any nieces or nephews or anyone that you want to pass this message along to, it will be meeting here. I think it was, we're saying around 7 or 8.
Cool.
Yeah, around 7. I think it was 7. We'll say here at 7. Definitive. Done. Here at 7. And if you need, if you can get a hold of me at all, my number's in the address book. All right. That's why I don't do the talking.
Line in this song there is, and if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? You have the power, you have the authority, you have the right, and you have the truth. And God is with you, and no one can stop you from bringing that truth of God's love and reconciliation to this hurting world. Go in peace today, knowing that God goes with you. Amen.